Volturi are the closest thing my world has to royalty. They enforce the law.
Vampires have laws?
You're a human who knows entirely too much about us. They could kill us all.
You just don't belong in my world, Bella.
I belong with you.
This is the last time you'll ever see me. Please just promise me you won't do anything reckless.
It's like a huge hole has been punched through my chest.
I know what he did to you, but Bella, I would never, ever do that.
There's only one way I know to see him.
So, you're an adrenaline junkie now? You're dead.
What?
He's going to the Volturi. He wants to die too.
He left you, Bella. He didn't want you anymore.
I have to go.
He's gonna make a scene. The Volturi will kill him if he reveals himself in the sunlight.
No, Edward, don't!
I'm scared. Just a little.
No, please, please!
Welcome to They Called Us a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Called Us a Movie. We're part of the Main Damien Network. To find more from us, check out the website, themaindamien.com, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, at themaindamien. We're also now a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com. Welcome back to They Called Us a Movie. This is Anthony DelVecchio, and with me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Myers. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. I think we should get together and try to write a young adult novel, because I think we can do better than any of this horseshit that's been put out and make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. What do you think?
I don't know what's sexy, so.
Of the three of us, I don't think we know what the kids are listening and watching and reading, to be honest.
My mind is so filthy, so.
Yeah. It sounds like it's something we could do, but in reality, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think what Mark is saying makes sense, because we are probably better writers than what has been written. But at the same time, us getting a coherent and something that reaches the children, that ship has sailed.
We would be able to write a great young adult series that appeals to 35-year-old white men.
Yeah, you're right. They'd love it. Again, I don't think what we find sexy is actually sexy.
Well, based on this movie, I'm definitely not. No. But before we get into this week's movie, guys, I mean, we talked 3 days ago. What are you watching?
There's actually one thing I wanted to bring up, and it was prior to our last recording. Anthony and I watched this movie called The Vanished.
Yep.
And did we touch on it on our last episode at all?
We did not.
I want to talk about this movie.
Okay.
Because
let's do it.
That movie is utter garbage.
Yes. Would you watch New Moon over The Vanished?
I would watch New Moon over The Vanished, yes.
The Vanished is also only an hour and 45 minutes, though.
It doesn't feel like it.
It does feel like forever. I actually only watched an hour of it, because...
It's the whole thing.
It's on Netflix, for those of you wondering. It stars Anne Heche and...
Thomas Jane.
I wasn't sure if it was... I was thinking Thomas Jane and then Aaron Eckhart. I was like, oh, I don't remember anymore. And it's about these two people that go camping with their daughter, and their daughter goes missing, and they in turn go insane.
Yes, and that's the nice way of putting it.
That's, yeah.
There are parts where you feel as if you kind of figure out what's going on, and then the movie tries to trick you, and then it's the ending is so undeserved and so batshit crazy, but not in a good way, mm-hmm. that it's almost like a slap in the face, like we made you waste an hour 45 of your day. And I who directed it? The guy who's in this movie, right?
Peter Facinelli.
Yeah. He's a dick.
So the reason why I only watched an hour is because this movie gets very silly. It was right around the time where there was a young couple that are camping next to this couple that lose their daughter. So they take them out onto a boat, and they accuse the young couple of stealing their daughter and killing her because they were trying to conceive and have their own child, which is a huge leap in logic. But this is what they decided to do. And then eventually one of these younger couple gets stabbed, the other one gets drowned or whatever. So I thought to myself at about an hour in, this movie's going to end really silly. They're going to kill more people, and then they're going to find the daughter alive somewhere. Like, she fell down a well. She hasn't been kidnapped or anything like that. And she just comes back, and then they have to deal with all the fact that they killed so many people. So my wife looked it up, which she does, and because she doesn't care about spoilers. And I didn't care about this movie, so I asked her what it was. So we're just going to go into the spoiler territory right now.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. This movie sucks.
We're saving you an hour and 45. Yes.
The daughter died years ago. I don't exactly know. She was in a drowning accident, I believe it was.
Yeah, in a lake. She drowned.
And they were having a shared psychosis. So they imagined the entire scenario of their daughter going missing. And I immediately turned it off after my wife told me this, because I said that was the stupidest. That was dumber than I could have imagined.
Yeah. And the entire time, this whole thing is set up for just pure happenstance. Everything they do is like, it could have led to the daughter really gone missing. And what are the friggin' odds? So the people next door were trying to conceive, but they can't for some reason. So that immediately makes you think, oh, well, maybe they stole the kid. Like, what are the chances? And then the camp owner, has child pornography. And again, what are the chances that you would go to a camping site and the owner would be a pedophile? The next door neighbors are trying to have a kid. The groundskeeper is a drug addict. I mean, that's more possible than the rest. But everything that happens is like solely based for them. It seems like this campsite was built for those two morons.
Right. It's like the reveal in Shutter Island, but nobody else is in on it.
Right. Yeah. There's an escaped convict in the woods. Oh my goodness. Well, maybe he took the child. It's like only so many things could possibly fall in that direction. And it was everything. And they speak to the brother at one point, and the brother's like, yeah, you know, they have the shared psychosis, but it never bothers anybody. They have jobs. Impossible. Impossible. There's no way that these two idiots could go about their daily life. They're murdering people. So all of a sudden they just jump from being able to have a job to killing everybody they see. It makes no sense. Fuck that movie.
Yeah, that's more or less what I watched in these past 2 weeks. Mark, have you watched anything since we last discussed?
Just WandaVision. That's about it.
Just WandaVision. Okay. You want to spoil it for everybody at home? No.
Everyone did the job for us at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Everybody, you gotta remember a time when it wasn't the pandemic, when you weren't just home all the time, when you had a little thing called spoiler etiquette. Man, not everybody stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch this show.
Game of Thrones, it's like if you said anything, you were lambasted, you were shunned forever.
Absolutely.
But now, everybody, I had people texting me, WandaVision, man, how crazy was that? Like, I'm working, goddammit. I'm sorry.
That's the thing. That's why everybody's home. They watched it at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Right? Because they don't have to go into the office. And it's not like they don't have anybody else to talk to. So they're just posting their thoughts on Twitter.
Yeah. that was rough.
I'm calling out, this is all to the post-87ers out there, because that's a post-87er thing. Get your shit together.
Yeah, I had to mute the words WandaVision.
Mark is way smarter than I am. I risked it, and I found out what was going on almost immediately, too. And Anthony and I were kind of having a little exchange where I don't mind spoilers, but it has to be on my terms.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, I have to look it up myself. Yeah. I don't like it when someone tells me.
Yeah. I mean, like, what I've heard is something that I had in my mind, so I wasn't... Like, WandaVision isn't... I like WandaVision. It's not a big part of my life, though. So I got spoiled for it, so I was like, all right, yeah, I kind of... I say I guessed it a couple episodes ago off the podcast, that I predicted it. So, you know, it's not that big of a deal to me, but you guys gotta shut the fuck up, man. This is what happens when you get rid of water coolers.
Like, to be honest, and Mark, I think you'll agree with me, the spoiler isn't even the best part of the episode.
No.
Yeah, not even close to it, in my opinion. So... Everyone's leaving out the best part of the episode anyway, so you could still watch it and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, but like imagine working in an office and then spoiling the Red Wedding for somebody.
Oh.
You wouldn't be able to show your face. You'd have to put in your two weeks and then take a 2-week vacation immediately after.
Yeah, you would. They would definitely call you out, man.
Yeah, because that
the closest I got to being spoiled was a good friend Tia, but at least she did WandaVision spoilers and then left a giant space to where I could go, all right, scroll past that.
I saw that. That was, she did the right thing.
There was an attempt.
That's why she's friends. Yeah. Yes.
There was an attempt.
Everyone else just, oh my God, WandaVision did this. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
I don't want to spoil this, but when so-and-so I almost went crazy. It's like, wow. There's only so many things it could have been.
Right.
Oh, man, did you see that? And just post a picture of who it was.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They're posting the picture of who shows up. I'm like, well, now I can't avoid that. I mean, all right, I feel as if this is definitely a pandemic thing.
Yeah.
Where everyone's crazy, and we get it, and they need to shout things out. But
everyone is starved for attention.
Yes. We're putting you on notice. Next week you do this, heads are going to roll.
Yeah. Just shout it into your pillow.
Yeah. Right. Tell your mom. Tell your dad.
Scream at your real doll.
Oh my God. Can you believe who showed up? Yeah. I'm very upset by that. But yeah, I think I'm hoping next week everyone kind of reverts back to how they were. But
no,
I don't think
it's going to happen.
No, not a chance.
And what's worse is that most of it's not even malicious. Like those assholes that just posted like Force Awakens spoilers on random ass Instagram posts. That's like, all right, well, you're just kind of a dick.
Like, right. Yeah, you're putting that Han Solo died on the MLB.
What?
Sorry,
you assholes that are just like, oh, talk, just want to openly talk about it. You should know better.
Yeah, how would you feel if it was spoiled for you? Think of it that way. Not everyone's staying up till 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to. You should, like, Disney Plus should turn off.
Yes. And the problem, the real problem is supposedly there's someone even bigger coming at the end. And if you think that's not going to be spoiled for you, you're in for
It's Luke Skywalker.
It's Luke Skywalker. That's what I said. It's Luke Skywalker. He just shows up in the X-Wing. Yeah, I mean, if you don't think that's going to be spoiled for you, you're in for a rude awakening, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I still think it's Hugh Jackman. That's what I think.
I can't think of anything bigger than that, right?
Right.
Patrick Stewart. This is the conversation that we had when I said what it was. Because you said Hugh Jackman. I said, what about Patrick Stewart? And then we said, bah, bah, bah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, this is gonna come out almost close to Valentine's Day. So, I mean, right. People are going to watch it at this point. But we still won't spoil it.
Yeah. We're not
assholes.
Because
we are not.
Because we are not post-87ers. Yep. Dan's close.
I am close. I am 87.
Yeah.
That's why he looks up all the spoilers.
Yeah. But I don't share them. I don't share them. Unless it's to my wife to make her feel
good. He wants you to know that he knows it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love doing that. Like, I know. I get that little, that look on my face. I'll never tell. I enjoy it. I did that a lot with, like, The Walking Dead when it first came out.
Remember when Walking Dead was a show you cared to watch?
I do, yeah. That was in the before times.
Oh, man. That feels like such a long time ago.
It feels over 20 years. But I had read all the comics, so I would always hold it over Jen's head. Listen, if you're not a good girl, I'm going to tell you what happens here. That made it sound very sexual, but I never tried to do that. just throwing that out there. I meant in terms of just like giving me... Not, I didn't make her dress up or anything like that. I don't want you guys getting the wrong impression here. You don't wear that outfit.
All right. I guess no one else saw anything else, so I guess it's time to take a quick break, listen to some ads, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. And now it's time to get into this week's movie. So it's just about Valentine's Day, I guess. I don't even know when this episode's going to air. Because this episode will air on the 11th.
Yeah.
So Sunday is Valentine's Day. And it almost caught us by surprise, so we had to scramble and watch this movie. Past 2 years, we've covered Valentine's Day movies. We've covered Twilight, the original one, the first year. And we covered 50 Shades of Grey last year. So this year, we're going back to Twilight. And we're watching the Twilight Saga, : New Moon. But gentlemen, where are you coming from with Twilight Saga, : New Moon?
I'm going to cede my time, and I'm gonna let Mark handle this because I have Mark over at my house, and we watched it together, and Mark made this movie bearable, so I'm gonna let Mark do this. Mark.
Yeah, so as I probably, for those of you they call this movie old heads out there, when we did Twilight, I had brought up that I did watch all 5 movies in the theaters. Because it was one of those things of excuses to hang out with my sister because no one else would go to the movies with her to see these movies. So this and Harry Potter were the two. So I haven't seen this movie since then. I think the only one of these 5 that I saw multiple times, I may have watched the first one a second time afterwards.
So real quick.
Yeah.
You haven't seen this movie in how long?
Since it came out in 2009.
You knew everything about this movie.
I just watched it last night.
Oh, man. That's true. Okay. That's true. I was going to say, you remembered everything.
Dan was about to put you on blast.
I was more impressed because if you hadn't seen it in 2009, I was like, wow, like your memory of this movie is phenomenal because you knew everything.
I think the only 2 things I remembered going in was Jane's power, because I still think it's a badass power that she has. And the fact that the werewolf transformations were friggin' ridiculous and probably really terrible special effects. That was all I remembered from it. And the fact that it was all about the werewolves with the obvious title, New Moon. So anyway, so going through and watching this, somehow it was worse than I remembered it. And just because and it's not even like we can get into I have a well-known, at least in my family, a hatred for Stephanie Meyer, because my sister told me, you have to read the books. I read 5 pages and handed it back to her and was like, I can't, no. That's why I made the joke about us for being able to write a young adult novel.
There was a lot of Stephanie Meyer hate going on, Aunt. You missed it.
Wow. All because of 5 pages, got you.
Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So even outside of the terrible writing and the storyline and all that, it's just the way the movie is put together is way worse than I remember, like just pacing at times. And I think as Ann said when we were talking, off the podcast, was that like nothing of consequence happens. And the things that are supposed to be consequential are just like at one point, it's like, oh, the good positive things happen. And literally the next scene, bang, it's like, oh, I can't be with you anymore. And it happens twice in this movie.
I did pick up on that, yeah.
And I'm just like, this is bad. Mm. Like, usually I can tolerate bad, and you guys know that.
Sure.
For certain movies and TV shows and things like that. But I'm just like, I don't know why people would be excited for the next one, short of the fan base that loves the books.
Well, I think you get to see more people shirtless, right? Is there
enough young women between the ages of 15 and 40 to make this movie the amount of money it made?
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
Lonely.
Well, I guess 50 Shades success too also shows to that.
Right.
Okay. I take that back. There were probably enough.
Yeah, they women like to think that they're more sophisticated, but then you see the numbers for these movies and you're like, well, you know, you guys are just as bad as we are.
Yeah, yeah. You can't make fun of me for Fast and the Furious if you like this movie.
Right, right. We all have our things.
Yeah.
You ladies had this, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so essentially where I'm coming from is that this movie fell below the low bar I already had going in.
It's a very low bar, yeah. I didn't even remember. I had Mark explaining to me things from the first movie, and we had watched that for this podcast. Who's that guy? He was in the first movie. I don't remember him. Or it could just be my memory slowly fading into the abyss.
And
yeah, this movie, it's not fun. There's no fun to be had or seen.
Yeah.
No one's having fun in it. Right, everyone's so dour.
Yeah. It's like maybe a Snyder movie.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he looked like he was having a little fun. Michael Sheen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was creepy. I laugh so hard.
I was so good.
At some of the effects in this movie. The werewolves turning. Some of the fight scenes in it are just so poorly made. That's 2009.
Yeah.
There was Marvel movies that were coming out at that time that had way better special effects than this.
Avatar came out the same year.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I don't know what went down. I mean, you're not really going to a Twilight movie to watch the special effects, I'd imagine. Again,
you go see Face Punch for that.
You go see... Oh, I would much rather watch Face Punch.
Yeah.
I feel like Face Punch is something that was made in, like... That's a Troy and Abed sketch from Community, right? Kick Puncher? Yeah.
Kick Puncher.
Yeah.
It's like a temp title. It's like, we'll circle back. We've got more important things to do than figure out the name of the movie they go see. We'll just put down Face Punch, and then we'll come back to it. And then they realized when they were doing the art direction, it was like, oh, fuck, we never changed it. All right, Face Punch it is.
But what was the other movie, Love Spelled Backwards is Love?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, so this movie is, like, unintentionally funny. I wonder if it's in the book.
Yeah.
Well, let's go see Face Punch.
Maybe if Mark read more than 5 pages, he'd know.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for not reading more than 5. I'm surprised he made it to 5 pages, to be honest.
It's like, I'll give this time. And it's just like...
That's as far as I made it in Harry Potter, I think. Like, maybe a chapter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like this at all.
Yeah, yeah. Watching this movie, Ant, with Dan, makes me want to watch the next 3 movies with Dan.
I was definitely one of, like, the annoying girlfriends. Like, who's that? So what's going on here? Now, why did they do that?
Just because I know of a couple things coming up and we spoiled it a little bit for him.
I love
that. I want to see his actual reaction to them when they occur on screen.
Yeah. My favorite was when I would guess something before the actors would.
Yeah.
And Mark was like, good job, Dan. You figured it out before the actor did. It made me feel smart. So we were talking about this prior to recording, how a good amount of the actors in this movie are actually... fairly good actors, right? Robert Pattinson is actually a good actor. Kristen Stewart, it's a good actress.
Anna Kendrick
is in it. She's fine. I like her. Michael Sheen is a good actor.
Dakota Fanning.
I like Dakota Fanning. She's okay. But yeah, I think this movie was just not made to be acted well.
I made the comment to Dan that it felt like watching this through again, it felt like Kristen Stewart was learning how to act while making these movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
training wheels were still on.
You know, just try, like, there's stuff that I've seen recent movies of hers when certain scenes in terms of emotional acting needs to happen that were heads and shoulders above the choices she makes in this movie.
There's a scene at the very end where they're at the Vatican, the Vulcan, the Virtuoso,
the Voltari. Like that.
The Voltari. There we go. Yeah, they're at the. The vampire popes, and they're getting ready to kill Edward. And Kristen Stewart has this weird reaction where it looks like she was, like, shocked, like with an electric prod. She's like, no, stop. Don't hurt him. But it was, I don't understand who gave her that direction, how to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there wasn't any directing going towards how to position these people and like how they should emote correctly. It just felt very all over the place.
Yeah. So this is not the first time I've seen this. I think when we watched the first one, I watched it with my wife when we watched it back in was it 2019? And I think they were on Hulu at the time. So then my wife was like, oh, then well, let's watch some more. I don't think she's read the books, but she's secretly a Twilight fan. She kind of likes the movies, but she won't admit to it. So we watched this one. And there's nothing that happens. I was saying to them off podcast is like, because I've seen Breaking Dawn parts 1 and 2. I don't think I've seen Eclipse, but I've seen the last two. And there's things that happen in the last two. It probably should be one movie, but that's a different story. But I don't know how you fill a next movie without getting to anything that happens in Breaking Dawn. It's got to be completely filler.
I think the only thing that happens that I remember from Eclipse, and this might even be in Breaking Dawn, was at some point they have prom. Oh, so
who gives a shit?
Exactly. Like, I think that's the only thing I remember coming up that isn't the really stupid shit that happens in Breaking Dawn that sticks with you forever because of how ridiculous it is. Yeah, is that they have prom and graduation maybe. You know, yeah, I think that's it.
So, but again, I think that's because this is meant for teenagers, right?
Yeah. Right?
Right. So every teen girl is like, I don't know if this is true, fantasizing about their prom.
Yeah.
And, I suppose.
And getting like the latest Bratz doll or something like that, right? is that still like the thing? No? Bratz dolls aren't big still? Yeah. So I think in that regards, I get it. But in terms of the overall story arc, it really doesn't lend itself towards anything.
No.
Who gives a shit? You could tell the Twilight Saga without the scene from the prom.
Oh, exactly. It's got to be something that's like real, like Stephanie Meyer dedicates 3 chapters to the prom in the book.
Wow.
And that's why they have to, I don't know, I'm just saying that. And that's why they have to have it in the movie.
Mark's tipping his hand. He's actually read more than 5 pages.
I've read all of them. You caught me.
But it's funny that you say that because if that's true, so there's like 2-3 chapters of the prom. In the novelization, the Lord of the Rings book, the Siege of Gondor is like a chapter. It's this giant epic battle. And if you've seen the movie, it takes up like the entire middle of the movie, mm-hmm. a 3-hour movie. And I could just imagine that being so, like, we have to get the prom perfect. We have to explain every minute detail that's going on.
Well, Tolkien had to spend 7 pages teaching you Hobbit songs.
That's right, yes. And Dwarven literature and all that.
On my ride over to dance tonight, I was venting to my sister, who absolutely loves these movies and books, and getting her going, it's not that bad, on the other line.
it's not that bad.
Having seen Breaking Dawn's 1 and 2, those are perfect for this show. So we'll get to that. Okay.
I want to watch or do a live rip tracks of Breaking Dawn Part 2 just for Dan.
Dan, don't worry. We're talking 4 and 5 years out. So. So,
that doesn't sound like a long time.
You know,
we
got 50 Shades Darker, we got Eclipse, then we got 50 Shades Freed. Maybe there'll even be another movie by that time that we'll have to cover. Then Breaking Dawn 1. So that's 4 years from now. So don't worry.
Can't wait. I'm itching.
One of us might be dead by that point.
Oh no, don't say that. That's really dark all of a sudden.
All right, well, maybe all of us will be dead from the sun exploding.
if we're all going to go down, let's go down together.
Watching Breaking Dawn.
Man, that would be a terrible... You know that joke where you go to heaven and you could brag about how you died to everyone else? Can you imagine that? I died watching Breaking Dawn, part 2.
Oh, you wouldn't be disappointed. That ending is so fucked up.
I've heard about it, but something about a child.
Don't worry about it. No. 5 years from now, we'll talk about it.
Okay. Hold that thought.
So, The Twilight Saga, New Moon from 2009, is directed by Chris Weitz, director of About a Boy, Down to Earth, The Golden Compass, and Operation Finale. And he's also the writer of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. It stars Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, Taylor Lautner, Billy Burke, Anna Kendrick, Michael Welch, Ashley Green, Jackson Rathbone, Michael Sheen. His IMDb score of 4.7 and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 28%. Budget, $50 million, which is the reason why the CGI is so terrible. And yeah, box office, $297 million. Bitches got paid.
I was going to say, man, everyone made out like a bandit.
I wonder how many MTV Movie Awards this movie got.
it probably won best.
Or, no way.
Really? Or maybe that would have been the first one. But yeah, there's definitely. But
it was probably like best fight scene between the wolves.
Yeah.
This has four wins. Best movie, best male performance for Robert Pattinson, best female performance for Kristen Stewart, and best kiss for Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart. And Taylor Lautner was nominated for best male performance.
You forget how obsessed people were with Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson.
They shipped them hard.
Did you, I didn't hear in that list of cast, maybe I missed it, did you mention They Call This a Movie alumni Kellan Lutz?
No, I did not.
Yeah. The Legend of Hercules.
Yeah.
I try to put that movie out of my mind. Just so you know, Twilight Saga : New Moon at the MTV Movie Awards in 2009 beat out Avatar, The Hangover, Alice in Wonderland, and Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
That I'm surprised about, Harry Potter. No, because it's MTV.
Yeah, you don't realize how much Twilight.
Right. No, that makes sense. I'm thinking of just like the overall pop culture loves Harry Potter, but Twilight was made specifically for horny teens. Mm-hmm. So they got to voting.
Trying to see who they beat. Best Kiss. Okay. They beat out Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds in The Proposal. They beat out Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift in Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll do that movie one day.
That's a good idea.
Zoe Saldana and Sam Worthington in Avatar, and Dakota Fanning and Kristen Stewart in The Runaways. There you go.
So what was it? Dakota Fanning and Kristen Stewart?
Yeah.
That would win
The Runaways.
That would win the Dan Awards?
Yes. That would win my award for sure.
Well, you know what? Jennifer's Body was 2009 because Amanda Seyfried won Best Scared as Shit Performance at the MTV Movie Awards of 2009.
A great category to be nominated for.
Amanda Seyfried and Megan Fox should have been nominated.
Yeah, that was a good kiss.
That was.
I feel like they got to get rid of that category. Do you think they got rid of it?
They should probably get rid of the MTV Movie Awards.
Right. Music television for movie awards. That makes no sense. I just figured this out. I'm today years old.
Yeah.
It was fun, like, in the early 90s.
Right, when it was Michelle Geller and What's-Her-Face winning Best Kiss.
Sure.
Sarah Michelle Geller, you mean?
Sarah Michelle Geller. Who did I say?
You said Michelle Geller.
Oh, Michelle Geller. Sorry. Sarah Michelle Geller. Yes. And who was the other one?
Selma Blair.
Selma Blair. Yes. They should have...
For the audience out there that didn't know.
Right. That they should have just retired that category after that win. That's the best one.
Mark is helping out the post-87ers.
Yep.
Don't help them.
They don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it.
All right, what do you guys say we get into the plot?
Let's do it.
Whatever there is. All right, Dan, what do you got?
Gonna shout out our friend Tia and her podcast, Top 10 with Tia. It's a weekly podcast where Tia and her friend Brittany get together and discuss top 10 lists. So I was on an episode for Top 10 Worst Endings. You could find her on Twitter at @TC_Stark. And she's a good friend of the podcast. She's a good person. She also writes for Geek Vibes Nation. So go give her a follow there, and that's it.
Okay, great. And we will be right back. But before we do, we're going to listen to some messages from friends of the podcast. We will be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Steve.
And this is Adam.
And we're part of the Hop Nation USA podcast.
Pittsburgh's #3 craft beer podcast.
Join us every Friday for new beer reviews.
We'll talk about the news, history, and homebrewing.
Plus, we'll sit down with the best brewers and industry personalities that'll have us.
So whether you're a casual drinker, a hazy boy hophead,
or even if you're a whale-hunting cellar hoarder,
just search Hop Nation USA on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher and join the nation.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. It's me, George, from the Best Little Horror House in Philly, the show where we talk about the best horror movie ever made, according to our guest at least. We've talked about groundbreaking classics like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Alien, but we've also got a lot of great ones coming up, including some very fun guests like Len Kabaczynski of Swamp Zombies and Red Letter Media fame, Caroline Williams, the star of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and Chase Williamson from John Dies at the End. So make sure you're subscribed to the Best Little Horror House in Philly, and I'll see you boils and ghouls over there.
And welcome back, and now it's time to get into the plot for The Twilight Saga, New Moon. We open on a slow-mo shot of Bella Swan running through a bunch of people in red hoods, and then she winds up in a field with her grandma. Then Edward shows up, all sparkly and shit. And I guess grandma has a big part in the books because she didn't show up in the first movie. And then Bella wakes up and it's her birthday, and her dad gives her some gifts. Bella goes to school and takes a pic of her friends Anna Kendrick with her brand new digital camera, guys. It's because it's 2009.
Yeah, she's making a scrapbook.
So she talks about how her mom wants the scrapbook made. We never see the mother, do we?
No, we see her in the first movie. Yeah.
Okay, but not in this. Okay.
No. I just want to her make mom, sure her mom's in Jacksonville getting plowed by a baseball player.
Because yeah, like I said, he's in Arizona or something in the first one.
Yeah.
That's every baseball mom's player. Dream, really.
Yep. So
just go get plowed by a baseball player.
In Jacksonville.
Right. It's any Florida mom's dream. Every Florida mom just dreams about being Susan Sarandon in Bull Durham.
Yes. Yep. What was she? She was a what did she call herself? Like she was a roadie kind of thing. Yeah. But there was a special name for it, like a dugout something.
Yeah.
But yeah. Susan Sarandon.
That's the glass ceiling for Florida women. Can't progress anywhere past that. You go to Georgia and become a congresswoman. And then Pattinson shows up and they make out. And then Jacob shows up with his new roided up body and terrible wig.
It's really bad.
So awful. But he's Jack. Credit where credit's due. Taylor Lautner spent the time between the first movie and second movie just eating all the steroids.
Anabolic steroids. I think she makes a point about that.
She bad jokes for about it. And then he's just like, oh, how'd she know?
Right. Secrets out.
Probably Taylor out. Cream. Yeah. Right. He probably campaigned for have that line cut from the movie.
Do we need this?
Do we really need to draw attention to it? Everyone's thinking it. We don't really need to just call it out.
Right. Listen, I'm a supernatural being. Can't that just be the reason?
But I mean, in comparison, Robert Pattinson looks like shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, he's as flat as a board.
Yeah, he's skinny as a rail and he's pale as fuck, and that's coming from me.
I was gonna say, like, you put a little hair on him, that's me. I could have been his stunt double.
And Jacob gives her a dream catcher because he's Native American.
Going back to the body thing, I want to body shame some more. Everyone in this, outside of Taylor Lautner, has an awful body.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like a lot of them are shirtless.
So here's the thing. This is pre-Marvel, right? Yes. So like Robert Pattinson, that physique could fly at that time.
There was no Chris Evans yet.
There's no Chris Evans, no Chris Hemsworth, just roiding it up. Yeah.
I think the only other jacked guy in the movie is Kellan Lutz, and he's in it for like 2.5 minutes.
With his shirt on. Yeah. He doesn't show the goods.
Yeah. No Kumail Nanjiani. You know,
right in Eternals.
So he gives her a great dream catcher. So they go to the Cullen's house for her birthday. And Edward talks about the Volturi and talks about rules of vampires and not killing indiscriminately and some bullshit politics, kind of like in the prequels, like stuff I don't need to hear about. And stuff
is that
I don't
the embargo.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
He basically explains that vampires have Fight Club rules.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
The first rule of being a vampire is you don't talk about being a vampire.
It's so silly. I didn't realize there were rules in this whole thing.
Oh, there's plenty of rules in vampire fiction. They're all stupid in the Twilight version.
I remember
Are there better rules in vampire fiction there, Mark?
Well, the whole not being able to walk in daylight is one.
Right.
Well, that's thrown out the window in this one.
Yes, exactly.
Right. I remember True Blood had their own Volturi with Christopher Maloney, and I think they had somewhat similar rule. You can't show the world that you're a vampire. That's always the number one rule, right? Even in Blade, you're like, yeah, we have to kind of keep ourselves under wraps, I think. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's just a universal rule for vampires.
Yeah. And then Bella really wants Edward to turn her into a vampire, which I'm assuming is a euphemism for just wanting to fuck. Like, she doesn't want to be a virgin anymore. And then the Cullens throw Bella a party. And they give her a gift, and she gives herself a paper cut. and Jasper goes crazy for her blood. So Edward pushes her into a wall, real smooth-like, cursing her to get more cuts. So they have to get Jasper out of the room or else she's gonna go, or shit's gonna go down. Then when Mike Dexter from Can't Hardly Wait patches her up, he tells her that Edward believes vampires don't have souls, and that's the reason why he won't change her into one.
I just kept waiting for him to say, I'm going to kick all your asses.
Kill everyone's ass in this room.
Who said that? But what his my favorite line of his is, who's going to love you now? Somebody. More like nobody.
Nobody. Let me tell you something, Amanda.
Who's going to love you now, Jennifer Love Hewitt?
We should have just watched Can't Hardly Wait.
We could do that one day. That's a great movie.
I love that movie. So Edward drives Bella home and she tries to convince him to turn her so she won't grow old and die. And I think Edward really just likes trolling for high school girls and his plan is 100% to move on for her when she gets too old for him.
Yeah. Upgrade. Always upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we literally find that out in the next scene.
So does that make Leonardo DiCaprio a vampire?
The one rule of vampire fiction that Leonardo DiCaprio abides by.
You're right. Like, how old are you now? 18? Next.
Yeah. After a sad emo montage, Edward shows up at her house and tells her to follow him into the woods. And instead of murdering her, he tells her that the Cullens have to leave Forks, Washington because people are catching on that no one's really aging.
Yeah, specifically that the dad hasn't aged in 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. But the dad, that's not really that big of a deal. Right? I mean, it's sometimes men don't age as quickly. You know, right. It doesn't show, like I guess. Yeah, yeah. Paul Rudd. So, I mean, it's feasible that he doesn't
have to. That's why I pointed out. It's the most flimsy excuse thing.
Right. Yeah, that's like a really shitty excuse for Edward to just ditch her.
Right. If you have good genes, there might be a time between the ages of 35 and 50 where your aging isn't really that drastic.
Right. It's very minimal.
Yeah.
And he says that she cannot come with him. Because we knew that was going to happen, but she's a big dumb idiot. and then he tells her not to do anything reckless, putting the very idea in her head. And then
now, Bella, don't go doing anything reckless.
Don't you eat this pie.
Okay, then, pie.
And then he says that she'll never see him again, and bye, and he leaves.
Yeah.
And then she just walks around the woods all day. And then I guess she just falls asleep, only to be picked up and carried by a shirtless werewolf dude, but we don't know he's a werewolf yet. And brings her back to Charlie, who has started a full-fledged search party for her, so that was really nice of her to make her dad panic. And then another emo montage of Bella not moving from her room as the months pass, which I will say this is pretty cinematic. They did a pretty good job on that, where it's just kind of circling the room and the seasons change. Good job.
Yeah. 1 point.
Yeah, and the way they show you the seasons outside of, even if they didn't put the months up.
Right, you still know.
You'd still know what months.
Yeah,
right.
they didn't trust the audience.
Yeah. Trick or treaters, I wonder what month this could be.
And then she goes nuts, screaming in her sleep, withdrawing from her friends, sending emails to Alice that can't get delivered. Basically, just she's going into a depressive phase.
It was easily the worst part of this movie for me. Right? How many times, like, why is she screaming? Well, I don't know. She's thinking of things. Well, tell her to shut up.
Well, I will say, the one thing Dan did forget was the end of the first movie.
How she almost died.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's just having reoccurring nightmares?
Essentially. I think that's what they're suggesting.
If I were the dad, I would have put her down. I would have... No more pain.
I also forgot that she almost died in the first one.
Just constantly emailing, Dear Alice, I did this today. I hope this is okay. Shut up. Just shut up.
Dear Alice, this will be the last letter I ever write your ass.
Oh, guys.
Mr. I don't call and write my fangs.
It was so, maybe it was just her cadence when speaking because she's so monotone, but I couldn't bear to listen to her talk about her emails again. I would just get up and walk away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to get a drink or do something way more important with my time.
Yeah. Dan did have a knack for walking away at like specific moments that would make him understand what was going on.
It was so adorable. Mark paused the movie for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, how come it's not playing? Like, I paused it. Why?
I'm like, literally, it's going to explain all the questions you've been asking for the last 25 minutes.
Like, just tell me. I don't need to see it.
That's what Lynn does to me all the time. She's like, tell me what happens. I was like, now I got to pay attention. You're like watching something that we put on so you could watch it. I have no interest in it.
It's crazy. Craziness.
Charlie gets fed up and tells her that she needs to go live with her mother in Jacksonville, totally cramping her style of just getting dick 24/7. But then she convinces him that she's not withdrawing and that she's going to go to the movies with Anna Kendrick. So they go to the movies and she wants to go hang out with some bikers. But then Ghost Pattinson shows up and tells her to turn around.
I was so glad I was here to see Dan see Ghost Pattinson for the first time.
So was that real? Or was it just like her imagination?
I have no answer for that.
Because, I mean, it's fiction, obviously, so it could have been that he was there.
Yeah.
But is it just the part of her mind?
They never explained.
Either way, it was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Anna Kendrick's acting in this is the most emotion we've seen in the movie for the last 20 minutes.
She's awesome. But I was telling Mark, she displays like basic bitch energy a lot. And just like her whole getup. I guess it was, is that how we dressed in 09? Is that how, like with the headbands? And
she's supposed to be not, I guess because Bella's supposed to be the beauty. And
Okay. So she's more plain.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. That's why this is Anna Kendrick. She's not basic, but they made her, I guess they had to dull her down. It's a shame. It's a crying shame.
I like when we talked about Twilight, we spent like half the episode talking about Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. So. And she's in it for a total of maybe 40 minutes over all five movies.
But Bella ignores Ghost Pattinson and hops on a motorcycle of some dude in his 40s. So they go riding, both without helmets, very unsafe. And then she sees Ghost Pattinson again and tells the guy to stop. And now Bella has developed an adrenaline addiction.
Yep.
Now she's resigned herself to seek danger in order to see Edward, which is the most fucking toxic lesson in any movie ever.
That's essentially saying, I'm going to kill myself if you don't come over, or I'm going to cut myself. I'm going to hurt myself. Right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, that's pretty timely with what's going on in the news today, right? With a certain singer basically saying, if you don't come over here, I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she brings a broken down motorcycle to Jacob to help her fix it. And she realizes that he's super buff now. They start spending afternoons together building bikes, and Bella starts getting out of her funk. But she is still screaming in her sleep. And her dad encourages her to spend time with Jacob because it seems to be doing her good. So, I mean, we're all still Team Jacob, right?
Yeah.
I have no team.
You have no team.
No. I'm Team Dakota Fanning.
I mean, at points in this movie, I become Team Victoria because I want to see her succeed and murder everybody in that town. But
the redhead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. She's not. And she gets replaced by Bryce Dallas Howard, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I could get on that team. I like Bryce Dallas Howard.
Sure. So Bella and Jacob go driving and they see other shirtless dudes that Jacob refers to as Sam and his cult. That Sam is a weird dude. But Sam is the guy that's picked her up and saved her, right?
Yes.
So I was always super confused by why he was always like, Jacob was always like standoffish of this Sam fella. But
I guess because he doesn't want to be a werewolf, Jacob.
I guess not.
And he has no choice, I guess.
Yeah. Well, as he explains, only apparently certain people have it. And I guess they know Sam is. And so that's his way of explaining it to Bella.
Okay.
It's by calling him and his cult instead of a pack.
Oh, got you. They like bend over backwards to hide themselves. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, I don't even know if we mentioned it on this episode yet, but off air we were talking about how doughy all the other werewolves were compared to Jacob. It seems like they didn't get the memo.
Right. This is a teen romance movie.
Between movie one and two, Taylor Lautner is just gonna hit the gym like a maniac, shoot up some steroids, and he's going to be super jacked for when he takes his shirt off. And the other guys are like, oh, that's cool. And they got on set like, all right, now you guys got to take your shirts off.
It's like, whoa.
What?
Okay. I don't remember that. Yeah, they definitely missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, or maybe it's the Anna Kendrick thing where they told these guys not to work out because they wanted Jacob to stand out so much.
Maybe. But I don't know. I feel cheated. I want to see shirtless guys.
Like, Because, like, I feel like in True Blood, it was the same thing. Like, those were guys were super jacked, but all of them were. Like, Joe Manganiello was obviously one of them. Like, all the werewolves were, like, super jacked.
Even the guy who plays his father was in good shape, and he was an older gentleman.
Yeah.
I forget who played the dad, but he was in better shape than these are teenagers, I guess, which is kind of problematic now that I think about it, because I just said I wanted to see shirtless men. Because I think Taylor Lautner is 16 in this movie.
Yeah.
His characters, yeah. But that's, I don't want to see that. That's bad.
This is the second movie in a row where we've seen just dudes hanging out in jeans and no shirt on.
That's just true.
And it's just such a weird look. Even for Taylor Lautner, as jacked as he is.
Yeah.
It's still weird looking.
Well, this is exactly, like, you can pinpoint when he typecast himself.
Yeah.
And, like, he was going to get no other movie roles. Like, he was a shirtless guy or nothing.
So they fix up the bikes, and Bella takes the bike on a ride in order to conjure up the spirit of Edward. She crashes and cuts her head. Jacob goes to check on her and takes off his shirt because reasons.
Yeah, just to get the reaction that was in the movie theater. That
audible gasp.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, my stars.
It was just George Takei sitting in the back.
Oh, everyone getting hot and bothered.
Ooh, I believe I have the vapors.
He does it so he can pat her head down.
with the terrible blood makeup that they had on her.
Oh, man.
It just looked like she got ketchup splatted on the side of her head.
It looked like a Dario Argento movie kind of blood. You know, like the really hyper red blood.
I like how they never go to the hospital, though.
No. And in one scene, they specifically talk about how someone should go to the hospital because Taylor Lautner's going to put him there.
Well, Mike Dexter isn't there, so there's no reason to show the hospital.
So at school, Bella rejoins her friends, and then Mike asks Bella out on a date, and she agrees to go to a movie, but as long as it's a movie called Face Punch.
And with a group.
And then she invites her friends, too.
Cock blocks him in front of everybody.
And then it winds up
pain in his eyes.
It winds up just being Bella, Mike, and Jacob. Mike is a little bitch and needs to go throw up in the bathroom because of all the gore.
And even before that, he talks shit to Jacob as though Jacob couldn't, like, rip his arms off at that point.
Right.
Well, are you 16? Don't you need, like, a parent?
Right. You need adult supervision. Well, she's buying my ticket. I'm glad we had this conversation. It added so much.
Yeah.
They share no other scenes in the movie after this.
No. Nope. While Mike is throwing up his lunch, Jacob basically tells Bella that he loves her and that he wouldn't hurt her the way Edward did. Bella tells him she's a motorcycle he can't fix and he should just forget about her. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, and he'll keep fighting for her, and then she has to make that dumb mechanic connection. As you know, you go, hey, call back. Remember, he fixes things.
Right. That's how we met.
And then Mike comes out of the bathroom and Jacob nearly tears his head off for no reason. And Bella says he's radiating the heat like he has a fever and he leaves. And then Jacob ghosts her for a while saying that he has mono. Did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was essentially what happens in Good Luck Chuck.
That's exactly what I was saying, because I was like, wait, this sounds like a lot like what happened in Good Luck Chuck. Am I sure that this happened?
Did he say mono?
Yeah.
In Good Luck Chuck? I forget.
I don't remember.
Right, but he ghosts Jessica Alba for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was just accidentally rewriting my Good Luck Chuck notes.
No, that's what happened.
This happened to be a thing that happened in the late 2000s.
Right.
Everybody was getting mono. Yeah,
the great mono scare.
She goes to pay him a visit, and she finds Jacob walking around shirtless in the rain in jean shorts.
For no reason.
And he has cut his hair and got a tattoo. And then he tells her that he knows the Cullens are vampires, and he knows she's been lying to everyone. And then he gives her that it's not you, it's me routine, and all he wants to do is just hang out with some shirtless dudes in the woods, no big deal. He tells her to go home and don't come back or she's going to get hurt. So Bella gets sad again now, and she goes walking through the woods. And then an evil vampire, Laurent, shows up asking why the Cullens left her unprotected. And Ghost Pattinson tells her to lie, but Laurent doesn't believe her. He says that he's there to kill Bella as a favor to Victoria, as Edward killed Victoria's mate in the first movie. Laurent gets ready to kill Bella, but then a pack of wolves show up and chase Laurent. Bella goes home to tell her dad the things in the woods aren't bears, they're wolves. He tells Harry to go get some guys and go hunting, and he goes back to the police station.
My favorite thing about this is that, and it's one of the things I remember from the first movie, is that, and they rehash it in this, because as Jacob mentions it later, that Jacob basically told her the story of vampires and werewolves. and that in this movie she admits that all she remembered was about the vampires. Yep. So her running in and going, "There's giant wolves!" I'm like, "You know the story." I said to Dan, I was like, in this movie, for some reason, between movies one and two, they just decided to make Bella an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, she's just the dumbest person on the planet. Mm-hmm. She's rolling, to make a D&D reference, she's rolling constant ones for perception throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, she seriously drops the ball.
So Jacob shows up at her window shirtless and parkours up the house through the window. Tells her he can't tell her what's going on with him. He tells her if she remembers about the story he told him about the folklore he told her about in the first movie, she says she only remembers about the vampire part. And then she suggests that they leave town together, but Jacob feels like he's endangering her and leaves. This is all this movie is. All these movies, that's just what it is. Like, they get together and they come apart because it's dangerous. Over and over again. It's just fake drama. It's manufactured drama.
Yep.
Then she has a dream where she realizes something about wolves. Then she goes to his house and picks a fight with the shirtless dudes, punches one of them in the face, which then he turns into a wolf and goes to attack her. But Jacob turns into a wolf and comes to her rescue. And Sam tells the two other shirtless dudes to take Bella back to the house.
And the most honest cackle I've ever heard from Dan when Jacob transforms in midair.
So bad. The graphics are terrible. I was happy because Mark was here and Jen was here. And you could just see, it was almost like parents waiting for their kid to open up a present on Christmas. I was going to love this. And I gave them the reaction they wanted.
So Jen likes these movies.
She really likes these movies, yes.
Really? Is she team Jacob or Edward?
She said she was team Jacob at first, but then switched over to Edward.
Wow.
I don't know why. She didn't explain why. But, you know, I got a bone to pick with my wife now, because she gets on me for quoting Lord of the Rings. She was quoting this movie. So I think I deserve an apology, right?
Yeah, I think so. She should have been on this episode to defend it.
That's what I told her, but she's, you know, she's too good for us.
Well, 2 years from now when we do Eclipse, she's not getting out of that one.
No, I'm going to force her to do it.
She learned her lesson from Sonic.
But this is something she actually likes.
And then back at Sam's house, we just get a lot of talk about werewolves by a bunch of shirtless dudes. And then just guys walking around in jeans and no shirt. It's still a weird look. And then Bella and Jacob walk on the beach and they talk about wolves versus vampires. The wolves hunt and kill vampires, and they wound up killing Laurent and almost killed Victoria. Charlie and Harry go stomping in the woods looking for wolves. And Victoria's there, and then the wolves start chasing Victoria after she attacks Harry. And she jumps off a cliff to safety. And Charlie is the worst cop ever.
Yeah.
Doesn't hear Victoria just killing things behind him. Then Bella, meanwhile, plans to toss herself off that very same cliff. And she does. And the dummy gets tossed around by the waves and gets knocked out.
Like I said, she turns into the dumbest human alive between two movies.
Yep. She doesn't even try to like separate herself from the cliff edge or anything, like from the rocks. It's just like a quick little jump.
And Jacob saves her. And he tells her that Harry had a heart attack and died. Jacob drives her home.
Terrible delivery on that.
Such a delivery line.
He's gone.
No justice for Harry. Just dies off screen.
Right, yeah. And he's a pretty well-known actor.
Yeah. Jacob drives her home and tells her that he can't trust himself to not hurt her if he turns into a wolf. And then they make out. And then Jacob says he smells a vampire. It turns out Alice came back because she saw a vision of Bella jumping off the cliff. And then Jacob and Alice got territorial over Bella. The phone rings and Jacob answers it, and it's Edward. And Jacob insinuates that Bella is dead. And then telepathically, Alice realizes that Edward is going to the Volterra because he wants to die too, because he thinks Bella's dead. Just like Romeo and Juliet from the first part of the movie, guys.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, Mark was saying it's very heavy-handed.
Yes. So this is literally where my notes stop.
Mark.
From what I remember, and Mark, you could stop me.
Yeah.
They go to Rome, okay? Right. And Edward goes to talk to the Volturi, which is Michael Sheen, Dakota Fanning, and some other people. Yeah. And then the Volturi, he asks them to kill him, right? He asks for death. And they say his powers are too strong. It would be a waste of said powers. So they say no, right?
Yeah, and he can only die with cause.
Okay, so then his plan, because Alice has a, she has a telepathic connection to him. She knows that at the stroke of noon during the Saint Bart's festival or something, whatever, he is going to take off his shirt and walk out in the sun so he could sparkle for all the world to see, giving up the fact that there are vampires in the world, and then the Volturi will be forced to kill him, right?
Yeah, what Alice says is that he won't get close enough to actually do it because the Volturi will stop him in time, but that just means he's dead, essentially. Like, that's the cause.
Okay. So Bella and Alice wind up in this festival among these all red hooded people like we saw in the first scene, and Pattinson does the slow walk, taking his shirt off, and slowly steps outside, but Bella somehow...
He looks down and sees the shadow line.
Yeah. Bella somehow forces her way through the crowd, manages to jump into his arms and push him out of the sun, and they make out. Even though one girl saw, though. So.
Yeah.
Little girl. Yeah.
They probably had to kill that girl. They probably had to kill that girl, right?
Right. She was in the group.
Yeah.
She's in the group that gets slaughtered immediately. Right. So who drops off Bella? Which one of the vampires drops her off to go get Edward?
Alice.
So Alice drops her off in a city she's never been in a country she's never been in, and tells her to go find this place.
Go run to the clock tower.
Yeah.
That's all she does.
Yeah, go run to the clock tower. What? Where? How? Could you point me in the right direction at least?
Yeah. It's one of those things I always bring up on these episodes. It could have been completely solved with one line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Run that way and follow the people in red robes.
Yeah, just go straight. Okay.
Or she go, look up, asshole. Look, a clock tower.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
go there.
Yeah, just something. But yeah, so, yeah. And then after this is when you meet Dakota Fanning.
Right. They go to the... and speak with Michael Sheen and the rest of the Volturi, and this is where Dakota Fanning comes in.
And she's the most feared vampire of them. Yeah, because you see Alice and Pattinson's reactions change as soon as she shows up.
Right.
And he's just like, do what she says.
She doesn't have to be messed with.
Because basically she could just say pain, and then it's just like their heads want to explode. Which is kind of not... It's kind of lame, just like pain.
Yeah. So now, can it be any feeling or just
pain? I'm assuming that's her thing, is that she can make you...
feel whatever.
Yeah, any emotion.
So, like,
but she's basically their enhanced interrogation person.
Okay.
So she just... The badass part of the power, I mean, she doesn't deliver it well in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same. It's just the idea that she can just look at you.
How's it go in the book, Mark?
I don't know how it goes in the book.
Almost got him.
Damn it. No, but just the sheer fact of understanding the power just can look at you
and
just
make you
like torture you without having to do anything else. Just that is...
Now, imagine like dating her. That'd be awful, right? Because like if she wants to get going, she could just make you feel that way, and you're
at this point everybody else's powers have been very benign for the most part.
Yeah, it's all like seeing into the future,
reading thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, just like real basic bullshit.
And then this shows up, and she basically can kill Pattinson by just looking at him.
Yeah, that's a cool power.
Right.
And the reason his power so is because he can read anybody's mind, including vampires.
Yeah.
So
now, like, doesn't that make them mutants? Are they not X-Men?
I guess essentially. But
vampiric X-Men.
Yeah, it's just
telepaths.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Who steps out is Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Oh man. But the whole point of these vampires is that they each have a talent. They call it. Which isn't really in much vampire fiction.
I don't think any of them. They can all, like, do the Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, they can all...
They can glamour you, I think.
In most vampire fiction, they can all do the same things.
Yeah.
Like, in this one, there's specific things.
Yeah, they somehow spin a wheel, and whatever it lands on, you get this power.
Yeah.
So it's a grab bag.
Michael Sheehan's power is still confusing to me, is that he can touch you and see every thought you've ever had.
Oh.
I don't know how that works. And
interesting.
If they don't explain it any more than that, like, can he just narrow down to what thoughts he wants? Like,
Right. Yeah.
Not that it matters in this movie that we should really worry about.
Right. Digging in.
But yeah. Like I said to Dan when we were watching, because we were finishing up right before the podcast, mm-hmm. I was like, you just need to see this part because it's the most important part of the movie for this. It is the fact when, you know, Alice says that she's going to turn Bella.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that's it. I was like, after that happens, we can start the podcast. You don't need the final 5 minutes, which I can sum up quickly after that, is that eventually, you know, she goes back. The Cullens come back. Edward takes her home. She meets the Cullens again. Mm-hmm. They talk. Jasper makes a joke about if she gets turned, he'll love that he doesn't want to eat her all the time. Is essentially gross. The joke he makes.
Yeah. Gross.
and then they have the confrontation in the woods of the love triangle, and then that's it. And then he proposes it.
And then it cuts to
black. And that's supposed to be the scene of the movie. So that.
And that's a new moon.
That's the Twilight Saga : New Moon. Pointless movie. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah, there's like three things that happen that have any impact.
Yeah. You know, it's just a boring movie.
You know, the Jacob becoming a werewolf, the marriage proposal, and the Cullens agreeing to turning her at some point.
Yeah.
I honestly forgot that we didn't know that Jacob was a werewolf in the first movie.
Yeah, because he doesn't know, right? Something like that.
Well, yeah, I think they know. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think we know in the first movie. I'm saying specifically to the characters. Right. Those are the only three things that happen.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm just saying I forgot.
Oh, you forgot?
That they didn't know in the first, that we didn't know in terms of the movie storyline that he was a werewolf. I forgot that.
I honestly feel like you could get rid of the werewolves completely.
Well, you can't have the love triangle. It's Romeo and Juliet. It's West Side Story, you know, the two factions.
That's just, to me, it's so thin.
But Juliet was part of one of the warring factions. So we've got three warring factions.
Humans, vampires, and werewolves.
Yeah. But there's really no war against the human, right? The humans aren't aware. Yeah. So they're living in bliss, essentially.
Yeah, the werewolves protect the humans from the vampires killing them, essentially, is how it's explained.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's such a tired trope. Werewolves and vampires. Tired of that.
What would you like to see added?
Like, what kind of monster?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Sea monsters?
Maybe. But, like, that's...
Godzillas?
Godzillas, yes. Kaiju. Not maybe zombies. Like
Twilight meets Shape of Water?
No. Because that's so specific. Like, nothing can happen unless you're by a body of water now.
Well, they are living in... There's plenty of water there.
Man.
Look, Dan, they solved the problem of having vampires out during the day.
That's true. That is
very
true.
They just forgot about it. Right. Who cares?
Yeah, this doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, and it wasn't even some bullshit thing in some other vampire things where it's like, you know, they're either cursed by a witch or... Mm-hmm. You know, they wear a ring or
wearing
something.
Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Yeah, like.
What about mummies? Just all powerful mummies.
That's about the only monster left that would make any sense.
Right. I mean, if we're going strictly by universal monsters, and we could think of other ones like Cyclops. Cyclopses.
Cyclops eye.
Yeah.
Cyclops can't hide though. They're walking around with fake eyeballs.
The googly eyes. That'd be great. What other monsters?
Chupacabras.
What's that?
Chupacabras.
Chupacabras. Harpies.
Harpies.
Queen of the Harpies. Did we get that line? Queen of the Harpies. That's like all.
And Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah. That would work. Yeah, I just.
Centaurs.
That'd be awesome. Why not? You can't hide them, though. Reverse centaurs.
You just put like a fake head of a horse like around their midsection. I'm just always riding a horse.
I guess a minotaur is essentially that, right? It's the head of the bull. I can't think of any other monster that I would want in there, really.
Yeah, there's really no other monster that can transform.
Right.
And that's the whole point in these stories.
Right, they could hide within plain sight. Yeah. But that's why the mummy would be cool, because the mummy is a person, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the Boris Karloff mummy is just a person. So
just introduce the Cenobites into the Twilight.
That would be interesting.
Well, if we're going to add mummies, we just might as well just put Brendan Fraser in them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Or knock off Billy Zane.
Knock off Zane. I would love to see vampires versus werewolves versus Cenobites. That would be wild.
Bella accidentally opens a puzzle box.
Yes, and it's just like all this crazy shit happens.
Werewolves and the vampires have to team up.
Right. But like Jacob gets hung up by the hooks, the sadomasochism yep. stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see that. Him just getting pulled apart.
It kind of goes back to, the whole point of this movie is that she's trying to put herself in danger in order for Edward to notice her and for her to come back. Opens the puzzle box. She gets into some crazy S&M shit.
Yeah. She comes out in leather. That would definitely put her in danger, in harm's way.
I mean, somebody already wrote the fan fiction that turns this into crazy S&M crap.
That's true,
based on this movie.
Right, 50 Shades.
Now, if 50 Shades had some Cenobites, that'd be better, too. I think most movies are basically better if you had Cenobites.
Right, Godzilla versus Kong versus Cenobites. There you go. We just saved cinema, guys.
Good luck, Chuck, against Cenobites.
Right. I would watch all of those, and I would root for the Cenobites in all of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. You guys want to plug your shit?
Yeah. Dan Aquino. Why did I say my name? at DAquino 122 on Twitter. That's my name, Dan Aquino. But also Stranger Damies, follow us there. We just hit 1,500 followers, so that's a nice milestone as we're getting ready for our second campaign. So a lot of good people in that community. Want to thank everyone who helped us get there and all the nice words. Thank you very much. And we're very excited for season two, campaign two.
Yeah. And me, Mark Myers.
We strong.
So Stranger Damies airs every Wednesday. Search for it at Stranger Damies on Instagram and Twitter. We're about halfway through our character episodes. And we're rapidly approaching our first session, which will be either February 20th or 21st. So not this weekend, the weekend after when this episode airs. So be sure to check that out. That'll be on twitch.tv/GameVaultPod. And then we have our game podcast, the Game Vault Podcast, which is where the Twitch channel comes from. That airs every other Monday. You can find it at Game Vault Pod on all socials. And then then we stream regularly video games over on Game Vault Pod. So if you like watching horror games, RPGs, first-person shooters, and then we will have a D&D session every so often on there. Make sure you like, subscribe, tell your friends, all that.
All right, great. And yes, this is They Called Us a Movie. You can find us on Spreaker just by searching They Called Us a Movie. We could also find us on every podcast streaming app. So Spotify, iTunes, Overcast, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Just search for They Called Us a Movie. We are the maindamie.com. That's the main website. You can find articles. You can find our show. You can find Game Vault Podcast. Stranger Damie is there. Everything we do, we go up on that site. So that's the maindamie.com. And as well, it's on all socials just by searching The Main Damie. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, The Main Damie. We are also a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com and on all socials and all podcast streaming apps just by searching Geek Vibes Nation. Tons of great shows, Top 10 with Tia, us, a bunch of other great shows for you. If you're into geek stuff, there's certainly something for you. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at themaindamie@gmail.com. If you could, if you like the show, please go on to iTunes or whatever your podcatcher of choice is, and please give us 5-star rating, and a review would be excellent. Really helps us out a great deal and helps us get noticed. And that's going to wrap it up this week. This week was The Twilight Saga, New Moon, directed by Chris Weitz. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony Ovecchio saying to Chris Weitz, well, you certainly made a movie, didn't you? Thank you.